Sportsline Podcast is on the air, and we appreciate you checking us out on many of our CHCH media platforms. Folks, the Sportsline Podcast is a space for the many extraordinary athletes, coaches, executives, and broadcasters that are predominant in Southern Ontario, and especially right here in the Golden Horseshoe. From television, closed circuit, radio, and a podcast host, this multimedia individual has become synonymous with horse racing and sports around the world. From a television perspective, Jason Porwando climbed the ladder from local to national, but his true love has always been the ponies, and for two decades, he was a fixture at Woodbine Entertainment. Folks, he's the perfect example that nice guys do finish first. Racing official from the Alcohol Gaming Commissioning, a commission of Ontario. Porty, happy to have you here finally.
Man, what a place. What a spot you got here.
Well, because you remember the old building.
Old, yeah. Old building, all right. Yeah, this is, I don't want to say from the outhouse to the penthouse, but.
You can say it.
You're moving on up.
Well, this is
nice, man.
And we certainly appreciate you here being on the Sportsline Podcast. And yeah, as you all know, media has changed so much over the times. And when you were working here at CHCH, everything compressed into a 6 or 7 minute block and, you know, grab a 15 second clip here and here. The Sportsline Podcast, as you know, and you do pork podcasts as well, too.
Yep.
Just to give you that opportunity to sit and chat, eh?
It does. And, you know, a big thanks to you, bro, because I remember back in the day, things were kind of tough, and you gave me that lifeline with this network, and really appreciate it. And you know what? You're still holding it down, doing your thing. Watch you every night. My daughter's right there watching us, and she can tell you, every night, 6:40, bam, where are we going? Put on Bubs, and we watch you do your thing.
Well, we certainly appreciate that here at CHCH, and certainly I do as well, too. I mean, you and I go back a long time, and we'll talk about that, and to sit here and chat about some of the things that you've done, I've done. Wow, you know, like it's amazing to think, but you know, let's just see where you are right
okay,
now.
Okay, yes.
Right, where are you right now? I know there's a lot of people right now. They're going, hey, there's Porty. Right, what are you up to right now?
So other than the podcast spoke of with Donovan Bailey, it's called Running Things with Donovan Bailey. Outside of that track and field podcast, no more broadcasting. So it's a bit weird, but I work now for the Alcohol and Gaming Commission of Ontario. So we regulate and govern alcohol, cannabis, gaming, casinos, as well as horse racing. And this is where I come into play because, like you've said, from day one, basically, horse racing's always been a passion of mine. Love the horses. Once it gets in your blood, never leaves. So it gives me a chance to, you know, be a part of a sport and a game that I love. But now I have a chance, Bubs, to affect things on a higher level. Being a steward, being a judge, being a regulator. So we're out there looking after the well-being of the horses, all the participants, the bettors, just making sure that everybody is playing on that level field.
And I think because you worked at Woodbine for, you know, I guess over two decades and in different stints, that gives you that appreciation, first of all. And I guess people know who you are and what you did.
Yeah, I've come at this game from so many different angles. I mean, broadcasting being just one of them, being on the Queen's Plate shows, being a groom, a person that actually worked with these animals, right? So I've got that appreciation, that affection for these equine athletes. And then, you know, you take a look at a managerial standpoint. I was also very helpful in terms of management and helping them decide what direction they want to go in. So I felt like I've done everything possible with racing. But now it's at the highest of levels, being, you know, as I said, a regulator, being a racing official. So it's just, it's like the perfect combination for me. It gives me a chance to, you know, make a difference on the highest level I've talked about. And I absolutely love my job. I mean, not too many people can say they love their job. Love my job. I'm watching horse racing. I'd be doing that every day anyways. And I'm getting paid to do it.
And, you know, that goes back to what your mom and dad told you and what told me. And I think what you'll spread to your daughter as well, too, because, I mean, yeah, there are days where it's like, I don't want to do this today.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you think about it, that if you were to walk away from what you did right now, the stack of resumes that would be available, that would be there within a 24-hour period to take your job is amazing. And I think it just gives you that appreciation.
It does. And you know what? It's hard work. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy. It's like being a referee. So no matter what call you make, somebody says, oh, yeah, great call. Somebody says, no, you're an idiot. I know what it's like. I still play soccer on Sundays. I yell at the referee all the time. So it's a thankless job, but you have to realize it comes to the territory. You got to be like Teflon and just let some things slide. You know, you just got to realize people are anger. People are going to be angry. I mean, there's anger that's part of the game. The blood's boiling. Mm-hmm. Athletes are going to say things they may not necessarily mean. As long as they don't cross the line in terms of, you know, being racial or being derogatory, calling me names. As long as it's within the perils of the game, I get it if you're upset that we just moved your horse and took money out of your pocket. I understand, but at the end of the day, it's always a three-person system. It's not just my decision. Mm-hmm. We have three of us in the stand. That way we always get a result.
Right.
Whether it's going to be all three of us agree or it's two versus one. But it's always a collective decision. Sometimes I get outvoted.
Right.
I might see it one way, but my two colleagues see it another. End of the day, we're still a group, so I'm not, like, going to hold a grudge against those guys and be like, oh, they got it wrong.
Right.
You know, I just realize it's a collective team effort, but it's a tough job in terms of you're dealing with your friends that you've been, you know, on a personal level with for many years.
For sure.
And now I got to call these people up and say, listen, you're suspended, or your horse tested positive, or, you know, like I said, we're going to move you out of second and put you into eighth, which is now a non-paying position. So it's tough, but people realize I'm getting paid to do a job, and I'm going to do it to the best of my abilities.
And I'm wondering, is there, I mean, because there are horse racing in this area. I mean, you have Flamborough Downs, you have Mohawk, you know, Woodbine is not too far away. Do you travel with this?
Oh, yeah. We have 15 racetracks in Ontario.
Okay.
So of those racetracks, 12 of those are harness. Two are thoroughbred, that being Fort Erie and Woodbine. And we have one quarter horse, which is in Ajax, Ontario. So, yeah, I can't even tell you how many times I've driven by here, not even knowing that this is where it is, because Flamborough is 10 minutes down the road.
It's not far.
You just keep going down Highway 5, 10 more minutes west of here, and you hit Flamborough down. So I've driven past here so many times. Now I know where you live. I'm going to drop by. Secret's out now. I'm dropping by.
I'm scared.
I'm bringing the Krispy Kremes, and I'm dropping by.
And you know what? There was someone here, Carly Conway, our chief.
Is
he bringing Krispy Kremes?
Yes, yeah. Happy birthday. Speaking of which, I get to spend the birthday with this guy. It's his birthday. It's your birthday. So happy birthday.
Old man.
You know what? Getting old is a privilege. So don't say that. And I am thrilled to be right here on your couch on your birthday.
Appreciate
that. Just had to slide that in.
Let's go back to those younger years there. You know, and you think about, you know, where you've come from, and, you know, think about your daughter and all the things that she's planning in her head and what she wants to do with her life. Was this what you wanted? Was television and sports, was that what you saw yourself doing? Or did you want to be a fireman? Like, what was it?
Well, you know, growing up, the usual, I want to be a teacher, lawyer, doctor, dentist, one of those, right? But the funny thing is, I actually went to school for commerce. Not a lot of people know that. Commerce was something that I kind of fell into. Mm-hmm. It's like accounting. And basically, I remember to this day, when I was going to UFT, my best friend, Michael Sartor, I said to him, you know, when you take Italian, give me French. Because I took French all the way up from basically grade school right through to university. And I just didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine was in charge of the radio station at UFT, had a show called Sports Gab. Mm-hmm. And they needed somebody to talk sports. And I like to talk and I love sports. I said, yeah, let me try this. So that's actually how I got into broadcasting.
Wow.
And I know people will say, if you're not focused on plan A, something's wrong. There should be no plan B, but to each their own. I mean, for me, plan B kind of worked out okay.
Kingston,
oh yeah. Man, I wasn't sure what to expect, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Being a black man in a predominantly white city, I was like, are they going to accept me? I'm going to kind of stand out. You know, like
you think?
Bigger fish in a small pond type thing, right? And love it.
Yeah.
Love it. I mean, one of the best cities. I mean, a lot of history. Former capital of Canada.
Right.
And I still go back there to this day. Mm-hmm. It's my home away from home. And the people I worked with became my family members because I didn't have anybody that lived in Kingston.
Right.
But they welcomed me with open arms. And that was the first step. And, that's where it all began in terms of TV. And that was a great experience.
So you learn to anchor, you learn to report, you learn to put together reports, work with editors. I mean, it really is one of those places where you get your feet wet. How did the transition to the National Sports Network and the Young Sportsnet at that time, how did that all happen?
That was very interesting, to be honest, because like you said, Kingston was a one-man show. I walked in the building and they said, oh, congratulations, you're the new sports anchor, you're the new sports director. And I was like, what? Whoa, slow down here. But you do a lot of it on your own. Mm-hmm. I had a great guy by the name of Mike Postavit, mm-hmm. who has been there for years. He's still there anchoring the sports. That was just like, man, he was such a huge help because he knows the city inside and out. Mm-hmm. Anything about the Limestone City, boom, he's got you. Mm-hmm. Now you move to a national network and you're kind of like, wow, bright lights, big city, you know, getting connected, so to speak. And yeah, sitting on couches, very, very similar to this, right?
Yeah. You know,
back in the day, RJ Broadhead. You were there.
Yeah.
You were there. You were on the air before I was at Sportsnet. So, you know, paving the way. But, you know, again, it's just when I was in Kingston, it was a smaller market. Not as many eyes were on you, so you had a chance to make some mistakes and just get better at your craft. And I'll tell you a quick story. It was pretty funny, actually. I like to have fun when I'm doing sports. You know, for me, sports is an escape from reality.
Mm-hmm.
And one night, Glenn Healy was trying to find the puck. And I said, oh, Glenn Healy fishing around, trying to find the puck, looking more like Jeff. Not knowing at the time, Jeff Healy was a blind guitarist.
You didn't know that.
I had no idea. So now the
you weren't up in your rock and roll.
Exactly. The only reason why I can sleep easy at nights is because I actually met Jeff and I gave him that story.
Right.
And he absolutely loved it.
Okay.
He found it to be the funniest thing. And he was just like, no, man, that's great. That's awesome. I said, oh, thank goodness. Because everybody said to me, how the heck are you going to make fun of a blind guy? And I'm like, I didn't know. I had no idea. I used to see him.
Is that what you explained to Scott Moore?
Yeah, exactly. My boss back in the day. Yeah, you're right. But that was just one of the quick stories that was pretty fun. But you know what? Like anything else, you have to surround yourselves with the right people. Because as you know, at that level, you're basically just writing your on cameras. Everything else is written for you.
Done for you.
You know what I mean? So you got people on the row, cutting the highlight packs, writing your voiceovers. You rely on a lot of people to get things right. And if they get something wrong, you look like the idiot. I remember one time saying a hockey player's name wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It was Andre Boudria, but somebody wrote Andre Bourdais, maybe getting confused with the race car driver, Sebastian Bourdais.
Okay.
So a lot of the times you pick up a script cold and you just read it.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, with that assist now, so-and-so passes Andre Bourdais as the Canucks' all-time leading defenseman when it comes to scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards I'm like, damn, Bourdais, that's not right. It's Boudria.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, there's all these things on like YouTube and social media. Port Wando's an idiot. Black guys don't know hockey and stuff like that. But again, Teflon.
Yeah.
If it's not constructive criticism, just let it slide. I can't let those people like that bother me. But it wasn't my mistake, but I'm not going to go out there and throw the person in.
Well, and I can say this from experience being in that newsroom along with you, and that you actually taught me a little something that I needed to do as well, too, because I was doing a lot of the updates and the NBA games and the Raptors games into Canucks, Flames, and Oilers games, Senators games,
live.
Right? Doing those live in between. I was thinking about that. Well, Jim Houston's going, we're going to go to Bubba O'Neill and the sports line now. Yep. And I'm like, oh, my God, Jim Houston, you know, like, But you were on the connected side doing the news program, and you were, to give you credit, because, and maybe an experience like that taught you a lesson, which taught me a lesson, that when the producer or the assistant producer gives you the scripts, it's incumbent on you as a broadcaster to go up, maybe talk to the person that cut the highlight pack.
Yep.
Read the script along with the highlight packs. Right. This way, you have that trust to go to air. It's a huge lesson.
100%. Preparation's the key, bub.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you're doing in life. If you are prepared, the results will be there. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if you have the time, the game's over early enough, you can go watch those highlights.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure out how to say somebody's name, because nothing worse than getting a name. You pick up the script and you're like, what?
Cold.
You know what I mean? Cold. And you have no idea. Like, I remember saying names three different ways. So one of the three times, hopefully I'm actually right. Mm-hmm. But I would go and listen to the broadcaster. And listen to say, you know, how that person said that name. Tennis is obviously a big one for names.
Huge.
Right? You get some names, you're just like, what the heck is that, right? But yeah, if you can be prepared, a lot of the times, you know, the games are happening as we speak. And you're, you know, you just pick up the script and you just start going at it. But if you can, being prepared. Mm-hmm. I mean, people used to laugh at me going, oh, seriously, you got to pre-read your scripts? I'm like, yeah, I want to be prepared.
I want to be prepared.
You do you, I'll do me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I got to the point where, you know, sometimes I wouldn't have my scripts up there. And to me, that was the fun part, though, when things would go wrong. Because mm-hmm. that's when you earn your money. That's when you got to start treading water until they realize, he's in trouble here. So we got to get him to where he needs to go, right? Mm-hmm. But, yeah,
prompter,
you know.
Prompter guy falls asleep.
Exactly. It happens. It happens, right? Yeah. So you just keep talking, and eventually they're going to be like, he's not going by the script. the script's not in the right spot. And then you move on. But, yeah, no, that was a really good job. And I got to give a lot of credit to Scott Moore because he kind of handpicked me from Woodbine and brought me over and mm-hmm. gave me that opportunity. I don't care what you're doing in life. All you can ask for is an opportunity. A lot of people don't get that opportunity. You know, be really good in whatever craft it may be, but for whatever reason, they don't get that opportunity. As long as you get that chance, that's all you can ask for.
Well, I'm with you. I mean, you could say whatever you want. I mean, as you said, everyone's got a critic or whatever, but Scott gave me opportunities mm-hmm. that I know a lot of broadcast associates at that time never got. And, you know, some were critical of it or whatever, but I know I'd had some experience going into that job doing on-air stuff here locally and in our area. So I always felt a little more comfortable than I think many others. And I think those days were really interesting for both of us because it was, and I was talking to John Horn, you know, if you remember John Horn, 100%. Here just yesterday, and he was kind of in the same position coming over from Vancouver. There was I don't know how to explain it, and I think only you had to be there. There was a chemistry, there was a attitude, there was an emotion in that newsroom, no matter what level that you were at.
Right.
Maybe it was because I think that we were number two behind TSN.
Right.
We always wanted to work hard, and we always wanted to do well, and we all looked after each other. And you think about, and I think the best part about it for me is, and you're a perfect example of it, Horn's another example, Kevin Foley, they think of all these people that got opportunities there and are doing great things today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to make the best of that opportunity because you don't know when they're going to come along and maybe few and far between. So for me, jumping on that opportunity, and you're right, a lot of people have gone on since Sportsnet to do great things. I don't want to say bigger and better because we often use that phrase, mm-hmm. but the grass isn't always greener on the other side. But to me, it's kind of how you mow that grass. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a great opportunity. It was a run that was second to none. I got to meet a lot of great people. Still have a lot of good friends there. It gave us a chance to meet. And I look at some people are still there.
Yeah.
Brad Fay.
Yeah.
From back in the day.
Very beginning.
You know what I mean? He's still there. And you think about Jamie Campbell still there doing the baseball. Hazel May. She trained me on the morning show. Mm-hmm. So,
I trained her on Sportsnet Radio.
There you go.
Right?
There you go, right?
Crazy.
So it all comes full circle. But, yeah, those are the good days. And, yeah, you know, you're on the bigger stage, more pressure to perform. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when I was in Kingston, not everybody saw what I was doing. It gave me a chance to make some mistakes and, you know, just get better at what I do. And, you know what? Do I miss it? In a way. But it served its purpose.
In that time, your story is like there's like threads and needles that go in between each other. Mm-hmm. Because in that time, there was also the Woodbine job previous to you getting to Sportsnet.
Yep.
Then you kind of went back there. And then I think there was some interesting happenings within the Ontario government. Grants weren't being given
to. You got a good memory.
What I remember to the Woodbine network.
Yeah.
And then you were forced, in this position that, you know, media people get in every once in a while. Where you had to kind of look for something to do, right? And then you ended up here in Hamilton.
Yes, exactly. And this goes back to you, you know, throw me that lifeline. Because, yeah, you know what? When I had left Sportsnet, I had a non-compete. So with that, you know, I couldn't work anywhere and do sports. So originally coming here and doing, you know, some news and then eventually getting into sports. But, I had so much fun working here. And it's great to see a lot of the family still here, you know, a chance to do the morning show, you know. Oh, man.
You gave away
getting
a car.
Getting up that early to give away a car. Oh, yeah. You know what? Only two things can get me up early. Golf? No, not that. And horses. I know what you were thinking. Golf and horses. Come on now. Let's keep it PG. Yeah. Golf and horses. That is it. So for me to get up early to do the morning show, I don't even know how I did it, man, because I am not a morning person. But yeah, you know what? It was CH was so much fun. And you know what? It was just family.
Yeah.
You know, it was family. And you're right, because there was a time where I was at the racetrack, then I had left, then I was back at the racetrack, then I had left. And I was, you know, so I'm a perfect example You talked about the needle and the weaving, knit one, purl two. I don't know if you're into crocheting or whatever it's called.
Not really.
It's not a bad thing, actually. Put on your thimble so you don't stick yourself. But yeah, always leave on good terms. Mm-hmm. I'm a perfect example of that.
That's,
you know, because you just never know. Mm-hmm. Where you may need to go back one day. So some people are just kind of like, whatever, the hell with you, I'm out of here. Because I have a saying, the same people you pass on the way up, same people you pass on the way back down. So treat people good. I don't care if you're the CEO or if you're the custodian. In fact, the custodian is more important than the CEO because the custodian's keeping the place clean for us, right?
That's right.
The CEO is just part of C-suite, right? They just enjoy their living. But, yeah, I always try to, you know, leave on good terms because you just never know. And this is a perfect example because I actually had left here. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the Slots at Racetracks program actually fell apart at Woodbine. And I came back here. Mike that's Catrice, right. Back in the day. Come on back. I could have left here and said, I'm out of here, man. I don't need this anymore. But no, I left and it was on good terms. And Mike was good enough to say, come on back. And I did. And yeah, there were some good days doing Sportsline with you and some sports on the weekend.
Yeah, we did. We had our face-off score, the original CHGH scoring with Sportsline with Hampshire, yourself, myself, and another.
And I appreciate you, by the way, not having me in on a Tuesday to school my ass. So you know I'm going to touch now a little bit, so I'm glad you didn't want to put a beat down on me.
Well, let it be known, folks. Let it be known. And what Jason is saying is actually true, because when he showed up here today, let's just say this is the 33rd show or the Sportsline podcast we've had, and we haven't had a result or a reception like this. The guy's a rock star.
They all thought I was bringing Krispy Kremes, so I apologize. The next time there will be Krispy Kremes. Yeah. I promise you that. That's what they all get excited for.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, anything to see you, Porty. You're one of those guys. Like I said, the nice guys finish first. Let's talk about this here. You talk about the experience and of what you did there on the podcast with Donovan and. Of course, the television element, but what people also don't know, and maybe not so much in this area, but definitely in the Toronto 416 area, you were conducting a radio show on G98.7 called World Beat Sports, and it had a real good run.
It did. It must have been the football guy I had. Yeah, oh yeah. I don't let him get too far. No matter how far I might cast him. Bring it back in. And like I said, 6:40 every night, locked into CH, watching you do your thing. And congratulations, by the way, on this.
Thank you.
I didn't mention that, but well deserved, man. You do so much, you know, for this community, and you've done so much for sports in general. So well deserved. So much. I'm just trying to bring it all back in. Mr. G. You know, that was his vision, G98.7, Fitzroy Gordon. You know, he did so much just to get that station up and running. And one of his visions was having sports. Not very often you get sports. You get talk radio on the FM dial. Yeah. As you know, that's an AM thing, right? But there we were, 10 till 12 every Saturday. And, you know, being part of the Caribbean community, your background, Trinidadian, mine being Jamaican and Cuban, of course, Canadian. I tried to deliver something that you couldn't get on the Fan 590 or the TSNs. I would still cover, as you know, you and I did football, CFL, NFL. I still did hockey, still did baseball, still did soccer, did the regular sports.
You developed so many contacts from Sportsnet.
Exactly.
Right?
And so many good contacts.
Yeah.
Basketball, obviously, being huge as well. Sherman Hamilton, as well as
Jonesy.
Paul Jones, being part of those broadcasts. But, you know, for me, I wanted to make sure I reach out and give the public something they couldn't get on those stations. So I did cricket. Mm-hmm. I did track and field. Those were things that were those were staples.
Mm-hmm.
Horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are things you couldn't get on those other publications. So it was a great way to reach out to the black community and give them something they weren't able to get on the regular stations. So, and again, shout out to you because, yeah, we had a lot of fun doing football. I remember my first show. Eric Dickerson was on the show, very first show, and people were like, damn, you're setting the bar kind of high, aren't you? What are you going to do after
Hall
of Famer, Eric Dickerson? And I actually had him on because I'm pretty sure he still has the single season mark in terms of rushing yards. I remember somebody got really close.
Yes.
And I had him back on the show, and he was actually shopping with his daughter in the grocery store, and people were giving him updates. Oh, he's 20 yards away. Oh, he's 10 yards away. And he's thinking, oh, man. As much as he wanted somebody to break it, he didn't want somebody to break it.
Who does?
Exactly.
He does.
Exactly.
Don't tell me Gretzky wants his record, Ovechkin, of all people, to break his record. No way. I don't buy
Gretzky.
It. He'll do the classy thing. I mean, that's just Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky is the man.
He is.
I mean, I understand it's hard to compare people from different eras. I get it, because there's always that LeBron Jordan thing, and you just can't. When it's different eras, you just can't. But Gretzky, you think of like getting to 100 assists, for example. If McDavid gets to that, it's a big deal. Gretzky did it, what, like 9 times?
How many times?
You know what I mean? So
200 points, what, 3 times, right? You look at his total points, right, and he'll never be touched. It reminds
me,
there's two records that I have to say, show me someone that's going to break these records, and that will be Gretzky's total points, right, which I think second place, which is Messier or Jager, and they're like almost – they're like hundreds and hundreds of points.
They ain't going to catch him.
They're not going to catch him, and they can't catch him.
Exactly.
And then Jerry Rice's total yardage records.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't see it happening, I mean, especially the way guys get hurt now and they don't play as much. And
We could spend a whole show talking.
Yeah, we could go on and on about that.
Your Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, well, you know, they're getting close. This will be the year, Jason.
I love
this.
The
will be the year, and the same
way.
Thing for your Eagles as well too. I don't know what happened in the second half. You beat us in overtime, and that's the game the Eagles should have never won. No, you should have never won that game.
But
you win it. You won it. And then it was.
Just quickly, I know we get off topic. That's what we do. This is what happens when family gets together, right? It's like a cookout. Right, we just have some food, have some drinks, and just talk. But they were never a 10-1 football team, the Eagles. I don't know how they got to that mark. Smoke and mirrors. They were winning games they shouldn't have won. They got lucky to beat you guys. They shouldn't have beat the eventual champs and the Chiefs.
They lost to the Jets.
That was their first loss of the year. I mean, their teams they beat that they should have never beaten. It was a dressed up season. But I will say this: now with Kellen Moore there as a new OC, you got Vic Fangio there. As their DC, that's huge, getting two coordinators like that. Because no offense to the guys that were there last year, that was a tough spot for them coming in as newbies. But now we got legit guys in the secondary. We got C.J. Gardner back. Saquon Barkley, that's a dual threat.
Listen to
take
the
a
optimism.
Lot of heat.
Listen to the optimism.
Off of Jalen Hurts. I know football is like six. You know what football is becoming? Football is a 24/7 thing.
It really is.
Like, I mean, we got 6 months before we have the next
kickoff.
The
free agency has been...
Oh,
NHL, free agent frenzy. But I'm like,
that's garbage.
Can
we get rid of that?
The NFL's free agent frenzy
it
doesn't end. And it's not just one day. It keeps going.
It's already blown hockey out of the water.
Yeah, it's so fun to chart. And you're cheering for your team and to make ads because you know you're going to lose some guys.
But there's nothing like it, right? Like it's the only sport where every week counts.
Right.
Hockey got 80-something games. Basketball, 80-something games. Baseball, obviously, double that amount.
Well, I agree with the NBA. I know the NBA players are really, really pushing for the 65-62-game season or whatever. And maybe it would take away from guys missing games and load management.
Oh.
Get on the floor, man.
Load management.
Get on the floor. Stop playing.
How many games did Jordan miss for load management?
Thank you very much.
Come on.
Thank you. And in a rougher game. In a rougher game.
What's a flagrant two?
There was no such thing back then.
That's just called a foul.
That's called good defense back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. You want to go through the paint? By the way, why do they even bother have a paint in the NBA?
Not anymore.
Nobody's ever in it.
No, you hang out forever now, right? You know, Jay, and you brought this up a couple times. You touched on this, and you know, people ask me all this question all the time, right? And I know you probably get this question all the time. What's it like being a black guy on television? You know, in the industry, and I always have to change it somewhat. And I say, you know what? You can ask me that question, but ask me what it's like being a black man on television in Canada, because I really believe. And this is not to knock anyone. It's just where we are in society right now. You know, blacks on television in the United States have had opportunities for a lot longer than Canada here. Your thoughts on that?
You're right. I mean, you look at the United States, you see a black person on TV, it's like, what's a big deal? Mm-hmm. But
Or doing commercials.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But here, it's been just really different. It's getting better, but still has a long way to go. And you and I, back in the day, were at Sportsnet. it's kind of like, whoa, you don't see too much of that, right? I remember going to schools and talking with students and one kid coming up to me and saying, you know what? I really like the fact that I see you there because it gives me hope. It makes me realize I too could be on TV one day like you. And that really hit home. Mm-hmm. That really resonated with me when that happened. And I was like, wow, you're right. So it's kind of, you know, I'm not putting us on the same level as a Jackie Robinson. Don't get me wrong. No. But still, you are helping pave the way mm-hmm. for people down the line. People, you know, in the future that want to be a broadcaster. Because when you watch TV and you don't see people that look like you, you're like, oh, maybe we don't belong there. Maybe we're not supposed to be there.
Could I just interrupt you right there?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you said there was that moment hit you of someone talking to you. I had someone talk to me saying, can you talk to this individual because they love sports. They know so much and they love television. They're always talking about, you know, different sportscasters and they truly want to be there. But in talking to this individual, he said to me, I got no chance. Like, yeah. I got no
That's
chance,
yeah.
right? And he says, I love it. I'm passionate about it. Yeah, he's the one calling games when he's watching the TV.
Yeah.
He goes, but I don't see enough. He goes, yeah, I see you, but I don't see enough.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I go to, you know, I want to be able to go to school and have an opportunity, but I don't think I got a shot, you know, and it's hard for when you're, you know, someone yep. a little older and you're trying to say, go seek out your dreams.
Yep.
Because, you know, hope if you work hard enough, they will, or, but there's no guarantee.
No. Right? And there's that O word again, opportunity, right? That's all you can ask for. And it is tough because it's a very subjective industry.
Yes.
A lot of it is the way you look. I remember being at a network, wasn't here, so I don't even think it is, but the boss telling me I'm looking for a 6'2" guy who's blonde hair and blue eye. Well, that ain't me. In any way, shape, or form, right? Because I'm a little vertically challenged, right? Actually, a lot. My daughter's measuring up to me already, and she's only 10. But anyways, but yeah, sometimes you're just looking for a certain look. Mm-hmm. And if you don't fit that look, not going to happen, right? So that's not the way it should be, but I get it. That's just life, and I'm not saying it's just happening in TV. It can happen in any walk of life where they're looking for a certain person, and you may not fit that role, or they've got that person already, that quota, and they don't want anymore, mm-hmm. right? But you're right. It is tough. I mean, what do you tell somebody like that? It's rough because sometimes people have that preconceived notion, right? That's not the person I'm looking for. You could have somebody come in that doesn't have the look that they're looking for, and somebody come in with a suit on and, you know, clean shaven and briefcase and whatever else, that person will get the interview before the other person. And the other person might be better, but it's just because of the way they look. Mm-hmm. So it's not right, but as a good man once said to me, don't be bitter, be better.
It's so true.
Jack Armstrong, by the way.
Jack Armstrong, wonderful man. Yeah. Anyone that has gotten to know Jack, wonderful, wonderful man to the core. And I mean that outside of basketball, and you know that too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's funny to me, some of the things that you kind of have to fight through. And I have a feeling you might have heard this saying too. You don't sound black.
Oh,
And I don't know what that means.
What exactly?
I don't know what that means.
Like, should I be rapping? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would that help? But I know what you're saying. I've had people say that to me, too. They're like, wow, you know, you enunciate. You're articulate. You know, you don't sound like somebody from what, the hood? Is that what you know? So I understand what you're saying. Again, there's that preconceived notion about the way somebody should sound, right? Mm. Like, how does somebody sound black? How does somebody sound white? How does somebody sound Asian? Whatever.
I don't know.
You know, but yeah, I know. That's just, and again, you know, you're in a position, Bubs, where you're in the spotlight. You're going to have to realize people are going to be rude. People are going to be mean. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And now it's even worse because back in the day, social media wasn't around.
Oh,
so people just can't reach out and touch you the way they can now mm-hmm. and say whatever they want. But again,
and blind. They,
oh, yeah.
You don't know who they are.
Exactly. A lot of these people hide behind whatever. And I mean, even the job I do now, you know, sometimes they call us a 3 blind mice. They make fun of us because they say we made the wrong call, you know, and it's like, but that's part of the job. I'm not going to go back and be like, who is that? Come up here and say that to me. I'll show who made the wrong call. No, you know what? You're entitled to your opinion. Am I going to say that we get every call right? No. No official gets every call right, but that's just part of life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. You do the job to the best of your ability, right? And people have their say, and everybody's entitled to an appeal. We get a lot of appeals, and we go to court, and sometimes they win, sometimes we win. But I will say this, as much as they want to say whatever about referees, there are no sports without referees.
There's no doubt about that. Because we've had a Foxcroft on this show already, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, and you know about the Foxcroft.
The whistle.
And, you know, and you do talk about this. And I'm proud now, you know, to this day when I turn on the TV and I see a Kayla Gray and I see a Donovan Bennett and, you know, and doing more than just talking. He's producing features and winning awards. And I don't take any part of that, but I do say, you know, like, yeah, you know, Andrea Case, I mean, in the news, like, there are people out there
Jermaine Franklin, there's an increased
amount right now, and some would say that these were forced hires or whatever, but again, let's go back to your word of opportunity and show that, you know, not just blacks, minorities of all types, and we're beginning to see that more in Toronto stations, and it's starting to spread. And I like to see the fact that right now at TSN, when you turn on their Sports Center program, there's more women anchors than men anchors, right? So there has been, it's slow, maybe not as quick as we'd like, but I'd like to see that there's progress.
Oh, yeah. And some of those ladies making more money than the guys, which is great to see.
Yeah.
Why not, right? And you're right. I mean, I don't want to have somebody of color there just to say you have somebody of color, because chances are that person may not be ready for that opportunity, and they're kind of set up to fail. I want you to choose somebody because they're good at what they do, and they just happen to be of ethnicity, you know, have an ethnicity, you know, not just white. You know, it could be anything. But I don't want people to get jobs just because of that. Like, I don't think that's right. Mm-hmm. You know, and as much as I'm for equal opportunity, like I said, if somebody said, well, Jason, I'm going to hire you because, you know, I need a black person. Well, then, no, I don't want the job. I want you to say to me, I'm hiring you because you're ticking off more than one box. You know, you're good at what you do, and you happen to be ethnic. So this is a win-win. That's fine, but if somebody said to me, no, I just need a black guy, so let's just get, no. But it goes both ways, because there are people not of color who get opportunities that they maybe shouldn't be getting, but they get it. That's okay. So, hey, I guess you know what? With goose and the gander thing, right?
Yeah, it really does go both ways, and it's hard to decipher, because you're right. The television is such an interesting sort of medium, in the fact that there's someone as a, you know, a news director could look at someone and say, I like you, just whatever.
Yes.
But then there's
very
someone,
subjective.
You could say the same things in an interview and say, yeah, it wasn't for me.
Yep.
Right. It's all depending on that person and what they're thinking and what they're hiring, who they want to hire, who they envision, what they think that position should look like.
Yeah. Right? It's kind of like a general manager. When you inherit a coach, that wasn't your hire. You kind of want to bring in your own guy. That's what you want to do, right? So when you have somebody that was there, you're kind of like, yeah, they're okay, but it's not the same thing when you bring in your guy. And that's what it kind of reminds me of, like, what we're talking about. I mean, you know, somebody's the news director, they really like you. Boom, Bubs is my guy. Love everything about him. And then that person happens to leave, somebody else comes in, and I don't know if I like Bubs. I don't know if that's what I'm looking for. You know, I don't know, you know. So that's what it is.
He's hyped.
It's very subjective. Yeah, it's very subjective, right? No. I mean, somebody comes in and goes, yeah, Porty's great. Yeah, no, but somebody else I prefer. So it is what it is.
Yep.
That's life, and you just got to do the best with every opportunity you get. And life's not always going to be fair. I mean, you know, that's it. But you got to do the best you can.
You know, you think of all the journeys that you've been through and wars you've fought and, you know, as I said, climbing the ladder to get to where you want to be and establish yourself. And, you know, you talk about my birthday right now, and it's like we're not as young as we used to be when we first met. And,
no, yeah.
You know, and you've gone on wedding, marriage, kids. Like, it's amazing how we've kind of grown up, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, growing up, I know. And it's so funny because my daughter is always such in a rush to get older. I'm like, no, relax. It goes fast enough as it does, you know, as it is. So don't rush it. Enjoy, like, Man, if I could go back to school right now, I mean, I guess I could theoretically, mm-hmm. but those are the fun years, right? Mm-hmm. You're in school with your friends, no worries, no bills to pay, no cares, you know what I mean? But as you get older, you know, you get responsibility, you know, you got bills to pay, you got to put a roof over the head for the family, and you get to realize what's important and what isn't important. Mm-hmm. So as much as people say to me, yeah, don't you miss broadcasting? Parts of it I do. But now with this job, I've got way more family time. And is this job stressful at times? Sure it is. But it's so much fun. You're constantly learning. And when you stop learning, to me, that's the time to move on.
To move on.
But I mean, I have so much fun with this job, and there's still so much more for me to grasp, to hang on to, mm-hmm. to step up that ladder, get to that next level. Mm-hmm. From here, I want to be a senior judge. And hopefully that's not too far away. And that gives you more responsibility and gives you, you know, a higher bracket, not just pay, but, you know, just personnel-wise, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's a great job. I've never had a government job. Mm-hmm. Man.
Perks.
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 Love the government job. I mean, yeah, I mean, they look after you. And don't get me wrong. It's stressful, like I said.
Sure.
It's tough. Their days are just like, oh, man, what else can go wrong, right? Sometimes I'm up there and there's no interference. There's nothing going on. But then there's days where it seems like every race we've got to do something.
We got controversy.
You know, we got people yelling and screaming at us about, you know, what happened. And again, like I said, no matter what call you make, it's not the right one.
For somebody.
Yeah.
Let's end on this. You know, you talked about, you know, that the fact that there is still a little craving for media. You get take care of that a little bit right now with doing your podcast with Donovan Bailey, our original first guest.
That's right.
On the Sportsline podcast. And what's that like sitting down with the world's fastest man?
Oh, man. We've been friends for a very, very long time, Donovan and I. So track and field, obviously, that's his baby. That's his go-to. So we get a chance to debate, decipher, differ. Mm-hmm. And I love track and field. I mean, it's hot right now. Christian Coleman going head-to-head with Noah Lyles. Andre DeGrasse kind of got a little bit of a taste last year, mm-hmm. surprising many. Has us thinking what could be this year. 2024, obviously, is Paris Olympics. On the ladies' side, we got Sharika Jackson. I'm still not counting out my girl, Elaine. Eileen Thompson, Hira. I'm still not giving up on her.
The Jamaicans.
Not giving up on her just yet, but obviously you got Sha'Carri Richardson. Mm-hmm. Man, and that's just the 100. Mm-hmm. That's just the 100 I'm talking about. We don't even talk about the 2. We didn't talk about the 4, the 8. It goes on and on and on. But, yeah, it gives us a chance to debate, and we also touch on, you know, other things outside of track and field. Anything big going on, we'll touch on that as well. But, yeah, just, you know, because that's my little bit of, you know, sports, mm-hmm. if you will. And once it gets in your blood, it never leaves, right? So we talk that, and it's a weekly thing, and now we got more competition going up against, you know, it's all right. It's like, Bubba's got a podcast. This is awesome. Good stuff. Seriously, like, we need somebody else to go up against. So, no, this is a good, healthy competition.
Well, and where can we find it?
Yeah, anything that you listen to, whether it be your Apple, whether it be Spotify, whatever you get your podcast on, whatever is your podcast provider of choice, hook us up. Donovan Bailey, Running Things, and you'll be able to find
Running Things.
I don't know why we put the H in there, because
Running Things,
the Caribbeans, we just tings, yes. Throw the ball, yes. So, but yeah, so we do it weekly, and season 4 is coming up really soon.
Season 4, outstanding.
Season 4, yeah.
Jay, this has been awesome. This was so anticipated to run through the gamut, talk about your outstanding career, all the things you've accomplished. Can I say I'm proud of you? Like, it's amazing.
You can, but only if you allow me to give it right back to you.
All right,
right.
Man.
So, I mean, this has been something that's been on for years upon years upon years. And that's how you know that this isn't about, you know, working with somebody. This is not about a colleague. This is not just about a friend. This is about family, what mm-hmm. we got going on here. And so you and I have kept in touch over all the years. It will never change. And I appreciate you allowing me to be here mm-hmm. and a chance just to converse.
To converse and talk about it, man. Just shoot.
Or some people say, conversate.
Rap.
Right, there you go.
Rap.
Now you're sounding like a black guy. Don't do that. Converse. Let's keep it, you know, on the up and up. But I appreciate the invite and congrats again on everything you've done. I'm telling you, right here is my single. Where are we looking? Right here? Right here now. Okay, you guys are very lucky to have this guy. I'm telling you, everything that he does for this area, the hard work he puts, you don't know how hard this guy works to bring you everything that he does. He does it all by himself. He gets a little bit of help now and then, but this guy, appreciate him. He does so much for this community, so I got to give you some love as well, man.
No,
and happy birthday.
Thank you very much, Rev.
All right.
You know, but I'm appreciative to have the opportunity.
Yes.
Right? Because
exactly.
I love what I
Amen
do.
Amen to that. It's a good spot to end it.
That's your Sportsline podcast for the day. And as you just seen and heard, we love talking to people that are passionate about sports. If you do know of an athlete, team, or event that needs to be on the Sportsline podcast, please let us know. Comment, hit the thumbs up, like, and subscribe button, because we like to hear from you. For the wonderful people that make the Sportsline podcast possible, thank you so very much, and we'll see you tomorrow.